Our reading today is from Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. The Word of God. I asked Brad if he was following some course or plan to give me some guidance on what to preach on, what to choose for readings, and he said, whatever your heart feels like it wants to preach about. And I just got stuck, so I started asking around. I asked some people I know, what would you want to hear someone preach about? My great niece, Campbell, who's going to be a sophomore in high school, told me, hope. I think we need to hear more about hope. My niece, Alana, texted me, being, just letting go to just be, sitting, being, nothing else. Can you sit with yourself for a little bit and just be? Shortly after that, I texted her back, Penny, who's my dog I've talked about before, Penny won't leave me alone. I'm trying to write my sermon, and she just wants me to sit and pet her and hold her as we gaze into each other's eyes. Do you think that'll work for a sermon if I say that? And I got two hearts in response. It can be hard to just sit and be quiet with ourselves and with God. Do you find that sometimes is a challenge? What gets in the way? Feel free to...
Clutter.
What? Clutter. Clutter, brain clutter. Yeah. Brain clutter, heart clutter. What were you going to say?
Everything.
Everything. Mm-hmm. And if it's not audible sounds, it's the sounds of our screens, you know, the busyness of that, or our phones ringing, or the expectations people have of us, the expectations we have of ourselves. When I was, many years ago, I was a high school youth minister, and I recall a very bright, sweet 16-year-old girl, Jean. She shared with me that she felt guilty when she just sat and snuggled with her cat after school, because she had so much studying and work she should be doing. She was a straight-A student. And I just, my heart sunk when she told me that. And I told her, snuggle your cat. Everything else will come together. Should, I think, is an icky word. A dear friend of mine says, shake the shoulds. Or she'll say, don't should on me. And don't should on yourself. It's a good reminder for me, because shoulds can invoke a lot of guilt on us. But we're certainly engulfed in our daily lives with shoulds and have-tos, aren't we? I have to be at work every day, and by a certain time, and not just wander in willy-nilly whenever I feel like it. And that's challenging for me to be on time in the morning. I have to get home at lunch, only a half hour to let Penny out and eat something, and I have to be back on the dot in a half hour. I should keep my home tidy and clean in case someone stops by unexpectedly, right? I should walk 10,000 steps a day, they say. I should do something good to help people, to help some problem in the world, shouldn't I? I should send Christmas cards and birthday cards, and so on. And as an aside, I haven't sent Christmas cards in about the last 5 years, not because I've been lazy, because it was always my favorite thing to do, but my mom died about 5 years ago, and it just is, Christmas feels different, and I just haven't brought back that tradition yet. But to illustrate the power of shoulds, I was at a friend's wake last week, and I saw some people from my Christmas card list, and I felt compelled to tell them, it's nothing personal, nobody got cards. And they kind of looked at me and said, well, we don't care, we didn't take it personally, but I had to tell them. So shoulds can take away our peace, make us feel guilt or shame. But if there is a should to take home with you today, let it be this. Just go home and be. Maybe try to find a couple minutes in your day to just sit and do nothing else. Sit with yourself for a little bit, sit with God for a little bit, and just be. I don't want to say we should do that, but I think when we do that, life goes a little smoother for us. Sit and cuddle with your dog or your cat or your grandchild and just be. And then think about this. God wants nothing more than to hold you in love in the same way and gaze lovingly into your eyes. God wants us to be quiet for a few minutes and do nothing more than soak in all the love that God lavishes upon us. So just picture that for a moment, being held by God in that way. This seems like it wouldn't be that hard. The first part is expressed by the psalmist is a good half of it. God is always and everywhere present to us. There is nowhere we can go and not be with God. God is in us, in people around us, in nature, in our pets, our work, in our questions, our fears, in the bad news and the good. God is here, and God is here. God is here, and here, and here, and here. God is everywhere. The other half of that is on us to stop what we're doing and to be still and be present to God's presence and love. Now, I don't sit and meditate for 20 minutes a day. Some people are very good at that, and it's a very valuable practice. I'm not as good, but I don't mind just sitting and being and thinking and talking to God and praying, or maybe saying nothing, because I know God knows what's in my heart. So now I'm just going to take a little turn here and try to reconnect at the end. When I pondered speaking about hope, as Campbell suggested, the word comfort kept popping up in front of me. Psalm 46 that we prayed at the beginning of the service, and I know I've used here before, be still and know that I am God. Those are words that comfort and calm me and therefore bring me hope. A weekend or an evening where there's nothing on my calendar comforts me and beckons me to stillness and presence. As I was driving over this morning, I thought, man, this would be a good morning to be home, snuggling with Penny, with this great rainstorm going on. What's better? Being home and safe with nowhere else to be during a snowstorm or a rainstorm, that comforts me. And then I reflected on God's comfort, and what came to me was a memory from college. I attended St. Mary's College in Winona, Minnesota, and was very involved in the campus ministry program there. And those 4 years really changed me and changed my life in terms of my faith and spirituality and set me on a very unplanned course in ministry instead of biology, which I majored in. But in our college chapel, there was a tent or a canopy of sorts above the tabernacle with this quote written on it, "He has pitched his tent among us." It's a reference to John chapter 1, verse 14. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, full of grace and truth." The word dwelling means tent or tabernacle. And the Israelites, as they wandered through the desert all those years, carried a tabernacle with them that for them contained the presence of God, of Yahweh. And that was a very sacred place for them. In our Catholic church, in the chapel that I went to in college, the tabernacle houses consecrated Eucharistic bread that's kept there until it can be taken to the sick and homebound parishioners. He has pitched his tent among us. I bet I read those words 1,000 times during my college years, and they always made me pause and breathe and feel some comfort. God is here. God is with us. Jesus is with us, the Holy Spirit. God is with us in the bread and wine, in each other, and certainly in ourselves. Jesus pitched his tent. He stepped right into our messy lives, and he pitched his tent right there. We might be called to pitch our tent into the messy lives of others. All the pain and brokenness, and to be grace and truth and mercy for others. But that's a sermon for another day.